Yes, glory, honor, and power. Praise his name. Good afternoon and welcome to this Good Friday service. We thank God for Jesus. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's a good day to be alive, and we just thank God for another day's journey. Good afternoon, and welcome Blog Talk listeners all around this beautiful world to Runner for Christ Ministries Good Friday service. I am Kathy Clyburn, your presiding person for this afternoon service, brought to you by Runner for Christ Ministries, a church of teaching, learning, and doing. We thank God for each and every one of you who tune in regularly, and we ask that you tell someone else that this Good Friday service is happening. As always, we will start out with scripture and prayer, and at Runner for Christ Ministries, we believe it's vital, and the Word of God tells us so. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct our paths. Our scripture reading today is coming from Matthew 26, and that's verses 36 through 46. That's Matthew 26, 36 through 46. And it is titled, Jesus Prays in Gethsemane. Jesus Prays in Gethsemane. Here reads the Word of God. Then Jesus went with them to the olive grove called Gethsemane. And he said, sit here while I go over there to pray. He took Peter and Zebedee, two sons, James and John, and he became anguished and distressed. He told them, my soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. He went on a little further and bowed with his face to the ground praying, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me, yet I want your will to be done, not mine. Then he returned to the disciples and found them asleep. He said to Peter, couldn't you watch with me even 1 hour? Keep watch and pray so you will not give in to temptation, for the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. Then Jesus left them a second time and prayed, my Father, if this cup cannot be taken away unless I drink it, your will be done. When he returned to them again, he found them sleeping, for they could not keep their eyes open. So he went to pray a third time, saying the same things again. Then he came to the disciples and said, go ahead and sleep. Have your rest. But look, the time has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Up, let's be going. Look, my betrayer is coming. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his great and mighty word. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today for this opportunity to once again offer up to you some much-deserved praise and thanksgiving. Lord, we thank you for life, love, family, friendship, and fellowship. We ask that you fill with your Holy Spirit everyone who will take part in this worship service. We ask that you hear and answer the prayers of faith that are lifted to you by your people in this service. Lord, we ask that you heal the sick and comfort the many bereaved. We ask that you bless the preacher with a word from you for all of us to hear and obey. We ask that Jesus Christ be lifted in songs, prayers, and the preached word so that all those who are lost will be found. Dear Father, we thank you for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and it is in his mighty and wonderful name that we ask these blessings. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. And now we will continue with our song selection service with our very own Pastor O. Take it away, Pastor O.
Amen. Thank you, Deaconess Clyburn. Appreciate you. And it is a wonderful day. It's the day the Lord made, especially this Good Friday, because this, you know, the only thing that makes this day good is Jesus said, not my will, but thy will be done. You know, he had a lot to contemplate, you know what I mean? He was in anguish because he had a human body just like ours, and his soul was sorrowful even unto death, just like we would be. That means he had a soul, so he's a body, soul, and on the cross we're going to hear him say, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. He was just like us. And at that moment, when you just heard Deacon Clyburn read, at that moment he had to decide, and he decided real quick, that we were worth it. He decided real quick, not my will, but let your will be done. So in spite of all the anguish, in spite of all the bitterness of soul, he thought we was worth dying for.
You thought I was worth saving, so you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping, so you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die. You thought I was a devil.
Amen. Somebody just felt a whole lot better about themselves. Amen. Because Jesus thought you, thought me, thought we were to die for. Can you imagine? We don't think that. We know if we just go ahead on and be honest, we know we don't think that much of ourselves. We always telling Jesus how wretched we are. But Jesus thought we were to die for. Amen. You know, our sin said guilty. Amen. And the devil over there in the corner hollering, guilty. No mercy. And truth be told, guess what? When we go before the Lord and plead our case, we say, Lord, I confess. That means I'm guilty. But guess what? Mercy was in the courtroom that day. And mercy said they guilty. But mercy said no. I'm going to forgive.
I was just a child when I felt the Savior leading. I was drawn to what I could not understand. And for the cause of Christ, I have spent my days believing that what He'd have me be is who I am. As I've come to see the weaker side of me, my soul, mercy said no. I'm not gonna let you go. I'm not gonna let you slip away. You don't have to be afraid. Mercy said no. Sin will never take control. Life and death stood face to face. Darkness tried to steal my heart away. Thank you, Jesus. Mercy said no. Life and death.
Yes, our God is a God, and our Father is a Father of, amen, righteousness and justice. But be thankful that he is also, as if we look at his moral characteristics, amen, yes, he's holy, yes, he's just and right, but he's also filled with loving kindness and mercy. Amen. And what undergirds the holiness which demands righteousness and justice, which appeals to loving kindness and mercy, amen, is put into action by love. And that's why we say God is love. Yes, his holiness, his justice, and his righteousness saw that we were worthless, that we were on purpose sinners, not even by mistake. But then his loving kindness and his mercy can't do anything if there's no love to motivate it. And that's why we saved, y'all. Amen. That's why Jesus was willing to come and not just talk about it, but be willing to spill his blood about it.
So many different religions and so many different churches. And if God really loves me, then why does life keep hurting me? If you've ever asked any of these questions, well, my friend, I've got the answer. Just listen.
You have the power to make the seasons change. The river flows for you. The wind whispers your name. For me, you left your throne and traded crown for thorns. Instead, I'm saved within, not by your skin, but because your blood was red.
Some say you're black, you're white, they question it.
Thank you.
I guess that does away with our racism, huh? God don't just love black people, white people, Asian people, Mexican or Latino people, or any people. God loves all people. And all he's concerned about is that you get the blood. It doesn't matter what color you are. I'm telling you, your color won't win you no favor with the Lord. But if you got that blood, if that blood is there, then the death angel ain't going to even try to come your way because you're covered in the blood. Amen. It is not your color. It is not your position in life. It is not your wealth. You've done nothing. We've done nothing. We can do nothing. Amen. To satisfy God, satisfy. Could you imagine us trying to satisfy God's holiness? Not. We can't even make it. We ain't even satisfied with each other. Let alone God's holiness. Amen. Trying to please him with our works. We might do good work maybe when we sleep, but once we wake up, it's out the window, right? Amen. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin, what did the crimson stain? But you know, Jesus, like super tide, made it white as snow. I'm telling you, y'all, quit trying to be saved and accept salvation. He paid the price. You ain't even got enough money. God, what we don't want to give.
Unselfishly died on Calvary. Oh, how you gave your life for me. Bruised, scorned, crowned your head with thorns. No greater love before for me. Nailed in your hands, nailed in your feet, pierced in your side. Could barely breathe, could have came down. Yet you remain standing in awe of the price you paid. I never knew of a love so true.
You gave your life and still I heard you. Lost so many times to find you again.
But I repent, forgive me for my sin.
You paid it all.
You paid it all upon the cross. You paid.
you paid it. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for those blessings and songs and faithful testimony. Our hearts have truly been moved and encouraged, which takes us to time to talk to God, the only one who can meet all our needs. Come to the altar with all your cares and concerns. There is power in prayer. Following this next selection, the next voice you will hear and welcoming back is our very own brother, Minister John McFaul, offering prayer and petitioning God on our behalf. Meet us at the altar and prepare to receive Minister John McFaul. Pray to the Lord. Amen.
Day after day, He's born. Your loving kindness toward me. Your tender mercy.
My name is John Mack, coming to you live. Great to be back with you guys. What an awesome song, how the Lord provides for us and on a daily basis. And this is I'm just a sure witness that God provides and meets our needs on a daily basis. I come before you thanking you for an opportunity to just go to the altar of God, just to put all our cares and concerns before you, because we don't know. We don't have the answers, but you do. So, Father, I thank you for waking us up this morning to be a part of this beautiful day. Father, I thank you that on this day years ago, our Lord and Savior thought we were worthy. He said yes, that he would go to the cross for our sins, Father. So let us not forget that. Let us not forget our reason for being here on this earth, that someone gave their life for us. We thank you, Father. So we come before your throne. Thank you for Running for Christ ministry. Thank you for Pastor O and the Running for Christ family, Father. Bless them that they will continue to deliver your message to your people around this world. For you on my knees, knowing that I don't have a clue what to expect from day to day, but I know you do. So, Father, I thank you for allowing me to be alive. Father, thank you for allowing me to see your mercy extended through my life on a daily basis, Father. Just be thankful for the minor things, not the major things, just the minor things that you care for us, Father, and that you have our best interests at hand. And we thank you for that. So, Father, we come before you lifting up the sick and shut in, Father. You know, we don't know what's on their heart, but you do, Father. We ask you out of your hand, healing us all. Father, I thank you for what I'm going through. I thank you that you know what's best for us, and you see what's best for us. And I thank you that we can keep that in front of ourselves and not be focused on ourselves so much, Father God. Thank you for the Church of Jesus Christ that continues to share the gospel, Father. Let us be mindful of who you are, what you have done, what you continue to do in our lives, Father. We just thank you because we know the world with the corona and all the other things that's going on. Father, you're still God. You can always be God, no matter what the world try to do, try to persuade us, or try to manipulate us into. If you didn't want us in this world, we wouldn't be here. There's nothing that any man can do to remove life from us, and not unless you allow them to. But Father, I thank you. I just thank you that I can be here today. Father, just be so thankful that you can take the focus out of myself and just look at what you're doing around this world. You're reorganizing everything. People keep talking about things going back to normal. Have you ever considered maybe you don't want it to be back to normal, or their version of normal? They're willing to sacrifice their health and sacrifice, you know, just being around people just to go back to normal. You know, but you know what normal is in your eyes, and that's what matters, Father. And we thank you. Father, we pray for those that the sick and shut in. Father, I know that I go through a lot, and you know, some days it's rough, but you got to know who's in control. I know that you're in control of my life, and I thank you for the power of prayer. I thank you for all our brothers and sisters that continue to lift us up before your throne, Father, knowing that your prayer is, Father, that you hear prayer for your saints, for your people, Father. But I know that in Jesus, that you made an avenue that I can come to myself on your behalf. And I pray for those that are going through things in this earth that they can go to you, that you set it up, that you can go through Jesus and come straight to you and voice our concerns before your throne, Father. So I just want to say, Father, I thank you for this beautiful day. As we're going through this past, this Passover or this resurrection weekend, let us be mindful of what Jesus has done, that the decision he made today for our souls, and what he's going to do 2 or 3 days from now, Father, that we have our hope in him, that death can conquer them. Nothing. As the cross didn't do it, man can't do it. And that's what it's all about, that cross, what Jesus did. Because he cared and he loved us so much. Father, I thank you for ministries that run for Christ that's committed to advancing the gospel of Jesus Christ. I thank you for Pastor O and all the ministers on staff that have made a commitment to do just that. And notice the God of faith is here at a time such as right now. That, Father, that people need to come from out of the church, away from the four walls, and go out to the real world and speak to the heart of your people, Father. So we just thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for an opportunity to come before you on this day. We thank you for your people. In Jesus' name, God bless.
For this I give you praise. Thank you for Jesus. We are having a great time this morning, this afternoon, having a good Friday service and more to come. And I just want to say thank you for allowing me to serve as your presiding person. And as always, if you have been blessed by this Friday worship experience, to be a blessing to others and let them know that these services are happening. Share the love, joy, and the blessing. Amen. All right. Time for the preach word. A message from God. The best and the blessed part. The next voice you will hear to read scripture and to introduce the preacher of the hour is our very own Sister Deaconess June Rogers. Let's prepare to receive Deaconess Rogers as she comes in her own way to introduce our speaker. Amen.
What does the cross of Jesus mean? It's more than songs we sing. Much more than that emblem on your chain. But it means I'm free, yes, from the chains of slavery. And the blood it shed won't let my sins remain. Oh my, upon the cross my Savior died, the Lamb was crucified, showed us love that this world had never known. True love you never find. So that we might live, love came and died alone. Hallelujah. Well, the cross will always wear the love God had for me. When the Lord Oh, yes, you did. grateful, ever grateful. Say now just for me.
I just want to say, before I read the scripture that Pastor asked me to read, it felt so good to hear John Mack's voice. I think I speak on behalf of all of the Running for Christ family that, you know, we get reports, but there's no substitute from actually hearing the person's voice when they're struggling with an illness. And if you were able to listen in on that prayer, there was a common theme that he kept coming back to, that we are in God's hands. God is in control. And what loving hands we are in. So, welcome. As has already been said by Kathy this morning, I hope that you feel like you're at home, whether you're a first-time visitor or whether you have visited us in the past. And Pastor's title for his sermon, I don't know how he managed to find a song that's identical to his sermon title, is Just For Me. And he has asked me to read John chapter 13, verses 1 through 17. So again, that's the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verses 1 through 17. It is written, "Before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew that his hour had come to leave this world and return to his Father. He had loved his disciples during his ministry on earth, and now he loved them to the very end. It was time for supper, and the devil had already prompted Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything and that he had come from God and would return to God. So he got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist, and poured water into a basin. Then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel he had around him. When Jesus came to Simon Peter, Peter said to him, 'Lord, are you going to wash my feet?' Jesus replied, 'You don't understand now what I am doing, but someday you will.' 'No,' Peter protested, 'you will never, ever wash my feet.' Jesus replied, 'Unless I wash you, you won't belong to me.' Simon Peter exclaimed, 'Then wash my hands and head as well, Lord, not just my feet.' Jesus replied, 'A person who has bathed all over does not need to wash except for the feet to be entirely clean. And you disciples are clean, but not all of you. For Jesus knew who would betray him. That is what he meant when he said, 'Not all of you are clean.' After washing their feet, he put on his robe again and sat down and asked, 'Do you understand what I was doing? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, because that is what I am. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. I tell you the truth. Slaves are not greater than their master, nor is the messenger more important than the one who sends the message. Now that you know these things, God will bless you for doing them. This is the word of the Lord. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his great word." And oh, how blessed we are. We just even heard Jesus say so. We just read that Jesus asked, "Do you understand what I was doing?" In John 16:31, he asked, "Do you finally believe?" And Matthew 9:28, he asked, "Do you believe I can make you see?" And in John 5:6, Jesus asked the man, "Would you like to get well?" Jesus knows that we need to really know the answers to all of these questions as part of our faith walk. And he has sent someone with answers, someone who has studied the scriptures, someone who has asked questions of God on our behalf and who listens intently to the answers he receives. Do you want to get in on those conversations that Pastor O has had with the Lord God? I know I do. You know, today is Good Friday, and it's a unique day. It's the day that we remember the crucifixion and death of our Lord on that rugged cross. If you're anything like me, you're pensive, reflective, convicted, and grateful for the sacrifice all at once. What do you say to people who are so ambivalent as that? Sad that it happened, but grateful that it did. God knows what needs to be said. And he told it to Pastor O, and now he's going to tell it to us. Let's welcome Pastor O as he shares about it was all done just for us. If you're ready, repeat this after me. Pastor O, please break it down for us.
Amen. And thank you, Deaconess Rogers. Appreciate it. Amen. And again, I love the scriptures and everything. And how he whipped that up so quick, I have, you know, but that's how he do it, right?
That's how he do. Amen.
Thank you. Tell my boy Ray, I say, what's up?
All righty.
Amen. Amen. God bless and amen. You know, I need y'all to pray for me, though, because the Lord is going to have to hold me. I don't, you know, like preaching Easter or Good Fridays or nothing during this whole weekend. Because I get super emotional about this. And but, you know, you have to mature, and I got to get used to it sooner or later. I've only been preaching since 1975. So now the Lord's trying to get me used to doing things that I don't like doing. Amen. And preaching, you know, Easter, Christmas, this, it always brings back to what Jesus did for me. And who does that for anybody? Amen. No greater love has any man than this, that he would lay down his life, amen, for his brothers. And I wasn't even a brother yet. And even before I loved Jesus or accepted him as Lord and Savior, he died for me. Amen. So pray for me that the Lord help me to control my emotions. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today. And yes, we praise your holy name on this day. Lord, we call it Good Friday, and it was so good. And the reason it's good is because you said, not my will, but thy will be done. In spite of the anguish of your soul and in spite of the sorrowness unto death, you were still willing to face what you looked forward, being God. You were fully God and fully man, so you were omniscient, you knew everything, and you were omnipresent, you were present everywhere at once, so you could know that Thursday evening you were going to get arrested and beat on, and Friday night, all night Friday night, you was going to get beat on, and then early in the morning you was going to get betrayed into the hands of Gentiles, and then be crucified by the end of that day. And you could look for Jesus. We just anticipate things. We don't have a clue how it's really going to happen. But you knew exactly what was going to happen. And that's what made you ask your Father, is there another way? So much so that you sweat drops of blood. So, Lord Jesus, we just want to say thank you. You had to thank you. We thank you. And we're going to show our thanks going forward from this day forward. We're going to show our thanks by doing those things that you asked us to do. Help us, Lord, to understand Good Friday and the cost of our salvation. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Repeat after me. Say, Lord, bless my ears so I get the cost of our salvation. And that cost reached my heart so that I live like I'm saved. I acknowledge to you that sometimes I don't. But I'm here today to ask that you help me to change the way I think, transform my thinking with your word, so I can always know your good, pleasing, and perfect will for my life. In Jesus' name, amen. That's enough right there. Ain't it, Jesus? Can I offer you up that, Jesus, for a sermon? Amen. The Lord said no. Amen. Just for me, I heard that song a long time ago by Donnie McClurkin, and it just ripped me apart. So I said I'd never listen to it again, but I did. I kept on until I learned every word. And Jesus came and did it just for me. You know, I would. You can say it's just for you. Amen. He wants us to know that if we were the only one on earth, he would have still come and he would have still done it or did it just for us. Just if we were the only ones, he did it for us. What made him in the garden, as you heard Dignus Claiborne reading, what made him in the garden consider the path forward was he had a real human body. And he wasn't going to be able to not feel what happens when all of the stuff they would do to him, you know, when he would have to suffer that. He was going to feel that. And y'all know how we are about pain. Amen? I wish I had the time to thoroughly explain the science of crucifixion. Yes, the Romans turned it into a science on how to kill somebody. The Greeks are the ones who began to impale people on poles, but it would be the Romans who would take the crucifixion and make it a science and learn how to kill a person instantly, learn how to kill a person in 15 minutes, learn how to make them stay up there for 3 weeks. And it was every time you see a cross and they got a Jesus on it, and you look to his feet and you see a pedestal under it. That pedestal was not put there for their comfort. It was put there to make them stay, help them to stay alive longer on the cross so they could suffer more. There was nothing nice about it. As Jesus is about to celebrate the Passover, you know, they called it the Great Passover. It was the one that was in the spring. Amen. And Jerusalem is buzzing. It's about that their population of maybe 25, 30,000 have grown to 150,000 people. It's buzzing. People are there from all over the earth. It is packed. Amen. So much packed, there were no hotel rooms. You think Jesus, Joseph, and Mary couldn't find no room in the inn because of a census? Oh, this is the Great Passover, the one that takes place right at this time that we celebrate, amen, our great Passover. And so Jerusalem is filled with people, and for everybody, amen, it's a great celebration. But for Jesus, the Bible says in verse chapter 13 and verse 1, Jesus knew that his hour. Now, you heard Jesus say on a number of occasions when talking to people, my hour is not yet come, King James verse. He knew that, you know, you're not going to be able to kill me today. This is not the day the Lord chose for me to be on the cross or to be dead. So you're not going to be able to kill. One time they tried to throw him over a cliff, and he just walked right past them in a way. On a number of occasions in John's gospel, they tried to stone him, but he just kind of like disappeared. Why? Because it wasn't his hour yet. You know, we can kind of feel comfortable about a thing that we know that we got to go to. We got to go to the dentist, but that's next month. And we feel good because, well, that's next month. We don't feel real good because we really don't want to go, amen, but it's next month. So we're not going to feel about that. That's going to happen next month, like when it's just hours away. Jesus says the hour has come. This is what, in John 13, is where he begins to celebrate the Lord's Supper. That's what we call it. Amen. What we practice today that reminds us. And that's what communion is all about. You want to take part in communion. You don't want to forever miss communion. As often as you can get it, get it. Because it's a reminder of the covenant. It's a reminder of the relationship that we have with God. And Jesus knows at this time he only got hours. It's no longer days. It's no more months. It's not the first year of his ministry. He only has hours. It's not long after this they're going to cross the Kidron Valley, as we found out, we read about last week in our Bible reading class. Jesus is going to cross the Kidron Valley into the Garden of Gethsemane, and you heard what Deaconess Clyburn read about that. So he knows that his hour has come. Hour has come for what? To leave this world and return to his Father. But there's only one way out, and that's the cross. There's only one way to Sunday, and that's the cross. So what is Jesus doing when his hour comes? You know, Jesus loved to turn something into a teaching moment. That's why I love hanging out with him all day, every day. Because one time my wife and I was outside, either we were cleaning up in the front yard or doing something, and she noticed a bunch of ants. And then I looked at the ants, and all of a sudden it was a teaching moment. He taught me about how he's omnipresent, and how if he wasn't present anywhere where there is life or something, he gave life, it would instantly die. And then he just showed me in my mind how many things live. And then he showed me the universe, the stars, and all of the galaxies that we'll get to see once we, amen, get raptured out of here. Amen. He showed me all of that, and he said, if I wasn't present everywhere at once at all those things that are and those things that live, they would die. So Jesus loves to take something and turn it into a teaching moment. Amen. And he took this time to turn it into a teaching moment. You know, a lot of folks say that Judas was in company or cahoots with Jesus to come up with a plan to betray him. But I don't believe that. You know why? Because in verse 2 it says, it was time for supper, and the devil had already prompted Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, betray Jesus. Amen. Lord have mercy. Before we get to the teaching moment, here is somebody who has been with you, amen, since the first year. Now, I want you to know Judas is the only one who was educated in the bus. Judas was the only one, amen, who wasn't from Galilee but from Judea. Amen. He was the only one that didn't come from where Jesus grew up. But Jesus accepted him as one of his disciples anyway. Why? We know that Jesus didn't think for himself, because he said, the words that I speak, they're not my thoughts, they're my Father's thoughts. Even though our thoughts are always alike, they're his. We know that from John 16. Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes, okay, what I receive from the Father, I'm going to give to the Holy Spirit. He's going to give it to you. Amen. Amen. So Judas, even though Jesus knew he was going to betray him, received him. Even when his father, even when his father told him to pick him, you know God the Father picked them all, right? Jesus said, wherever the Father is, there is the Son also. Amen. And so we know from Genesis all the way through the Bible, God thinks it, Jesus, the Word, speaks it, and the Holy Spirit, amen, does it. And that's the way they operate with us. John 16, so far away from Genesis 1, confirms that for us. If it hadn't changed in all those years, I don't think it's changed from that time to this time. Could you imagine being Judas? What was it in Judas's heart that made him come to the conclusion that Jesus may or may not be the Christ? Judas is like a whole lot of Christians today. They're sold out to politics. They're sold out to Democrats, Republicans, and independents and their ideologies. That's what makes them dangerous. That's what makes it dangerous. Because Judas was a political ideologist. If you study him and study his life, you'll see that he had a connection with the Pharisees now, with the Sanhedrin, that Council of 70, the Jewish ruling council. Judas was known to them. And Judas sought to impress them. Some say Judas may have agreed to betray Jesus because he wanted to put Jesus in a situation where Jesus would have to demonstrate that he's the Christ to get out of it. Amen? But that's just what some say. The Bible says the devil prompted him to do it. And I'm good with that. I don't have to get so biblically smart. Amen. I don't have to turn into a Bible scholar and try to come up with something other than what the Bible says. The devil prompted Judas to betray Jesus. Oh, he did the same thing to Peter. And you say, Pastor, what's the difference between what Peter did and what Judas did? Well, Peter hung around long enough to say, Lord, amen. But Judas didn't. Judas decided that he was going to live with what he did. And so he killed himself. Rather than going to Jesus and confessing his sins, you can't tell me if Judas had not gone to Jesus and confessed his sin, that Jesus said, no, dude, what you did was just too dastardly. No, Judas was full of self. Judas had his own ideas. Watch out with these politics. Okay, don't let that become your ideology. For us Christians, the Bible is the standard. God doesn't need any government to do anything. God was doing everything just fine before the world was created. He has his own government. You'll read about it all over there, and amen. If we work in a government like the Hebrew boys did, like Daniel did, like Esther did, like Nehemiah did, then we work in it, but we don't stop being Christian like they didn't. Judas got too far in there, and I'm afraid that some of our political parties are real deep steeped in it. And they try to make it like Jesus is a Republican. Jesus is a Democrat. Jesus ain't never affiliated himself with any political party ever throughout Scripture. Amen. Judas betrays Jesus. Amen. Who would want to be Judas? And yet some of us do the same thing. Even though Jesus came and did it just for us, came and died on Calvary just for us, went through all of that anguish, went through all of that sorrowness just for us. And yet some of us, Jesus said, the man who sat at the table and ate my food has risen up against me. Amen. You know, parents, how you feel when you've been taking care of them kids and giving them all their clothes, giving them all their living and everything they got, and then they ride, get to be about 12, or, well, nowadays about 7, and they rise up against you. Start talking about what they ain't going to do in your house. My father had an answer for that. My father said, this is my house, and that is my door, and if you don't like the way things going on up here, get on the other side of that door, and you don't have to come back. Oh, he never forgot that that was his house. Better not tell him about your room. Not in his house. You didn't have no room. You didn't have no bed. Even the clothes on your body wasn't yours. He bought them. And here we are. Amen. Judas. Amen. But don't be like Judas. Be like Peter. He betrayed Jesus too. He forgot his name 3 times. But what? Confess your sins. And he'll forgive you. Look at this. Peter completely failed. But what did Jesus do? Peter, when you're converted, strengthen your brother. And we all know that he became the leader of the 12. You only need to read the book of Acts to see that. Amen. You know why? One of the wonderful things I love about reading the Word of God, look at verse 3. He says, Jesus knew that his hour, amen, that the Father had given him authority over everything and that he had come from God and would return to God. Amen. Sometimes it's good to know what the end's going to be. That'll help you get through the hard parts. Because after this suffer, they're going into what you heard Deaconess Kathy Clyburn reading, the hard parts where he's going to sweat drops of blood. I'll never forget hearing Pastor Jonathan Tate when he preached about this same thing, and he talked about how we have veins that run close to the surface of our skin, and if you get anxious enough, those little blood vessels will bust, and it will drip to the ground right with your sweat. Have you ever been so afraid that happened, that you were sweating drops of blood mixed with your perspiration? That's what Jesus was going through. But he knew that he came from his Father. But he knew that his Father had already given him authority over everything. And he knew that he came from God and was going back to God. So he got up from the table and turned it into a teaching moment. Jesus facing death. Annihilation. I'm telling you, you need to watch The Passion. It took 15 years for the Lord to convince me to watch The Passion. 15 years before I could look at that, see, because I had studied crucifixion, but they was using dummies, and it wasn't that bad. But when I saw that man that they had, that Mel Gibson had put in that movie, and when I saw that crucifixion, it was exactly what I had studied, and I saw it. Jesus was tore up. Oh, Lord, help me. They had a method to their madness. They would beat him first off with rods. And that would sort of like tenderize his skin. And then they came with another kind of whip that would cut open the skin, and then they came with a third kind of whip, and the ends was tipped with bits of metal and bone, which would rip your back wide open. But Jesus knew where he came from and where he was going back to. So he got up from the table. Rather than thinking about all of that, knowing that's coming down the road, he began to wash his disciples' feet. After he robed himself, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, come from heaven, going back to heaven, robed himself like a common slave. This was something the disciples weren't even asked to do or wouldn't have been asked to do because they were guests at this Last Supper, at this Passover celebration. They wouldn't have been asked to do this. There would have been slaves there who were there to wash the feet of those who came in. You remember when Jesus went to Simon the Pharisee's house. And while he was there, this woman of ill repute came in. And she wouldn't even lift her head up and look at Jesus. She just came in and she wept at his feet, and her tears soaked his feet. And when she noticed that she had soaked his feet with her tears, she took her hair and washed them. And when Simon the Pharisee, or Pharisee, saw it, you know how some Christians are, amen. I ain't talking about you, but you know who I'm talking about. Amen. When they saw it, they was like, This is what they said inside they self. They went, They ain't say it out loud, but they said it inside they self. Y'all know how we trash people in our head. They say, If he was the Savior, he would know what kind of woman that is touching him. And guess what Jesus did? Turned it into a teaching moment. Jesus said, Simon, like, what up, Jesus? Jesus say, I came into your house. You gave all your boys over there, you know, your little slave over there, wash all their feet. You ain't offer me no water. Your boys got to anoint their hair from all of the dust from down the road. You ain't give me no, well, anoint my head. But this woman came in here. And since she been here, she been crying. And her tears have soaked my feet. Then she took her hair and she dried them off. Simon, you ain't do that for me, which is customary for you to do when somebody's a guest in your home. You did it for your boys, but you ain't do it for me. And Jesus told him to the woman and told her, though your sins be many. Oh, yeah, she had them. Oh, don't you be looking funny. You got them too. I got them. We got it, right? Amen. They're forgiven. And, of course, Simon went crazy wondering, only God can forgive sins. And Jesus is like, God's sitting in your house, and you ain't even know it. But this woman knew it. Look out. Jesus loved to turn something into a teaching moment. Amen. He robes himself like that slave in Simon's house, and he begins to do for his disciples what was done for him by this woman. Jesus lowers himself beneath a slave because there were servants in that room. That rented upper room came with some servants. And so Peter, he knows you're not a slave. You're not washing my feet. You'll never, Jesus, I love you too much. I got you up here on a 10. You trying to drop to a 1. That ain't happening. But when Jesus tells Peter, if I don't do it, you don't understand what I'm doing right now. I'm trying to show you how you're supposed to conduct yourself as a Christian like me. Don't you get the big head. Don't you become a pastor and think you over everybody. Don't you become a deacon or a deaconess and think you over everybody. Don't you become a mother of the church or whatever part of the body of Christ I place you in and think you better than some other part of the body. I'm trying to teach you that right now. Jesus going to the cross, but he turn it into a teaching moment to teach them to be humble. You're not greater than me, and I'm your master. And if I'm washing your feet, don't you dare act like you better than another one of your brothers or sisters. Because you sure ain't better than me. But I love Peter's response. Peter says, well, Lord, if that's the deal, then don't just wash my feet. Wash all of me. Why not take and wash all of me? Amen. Somebody heard that song. Yeah, I stole that lyric. But anyway, Peter said, don't just wash my, amen. See, some folk join the church, and they glad with that. They just sit on the pew and chew until Jesus come back. That's all they going to do. But some folks ain't satisfied with that. They want to do more. Peter like, well, if that's the deal, then do all of me. I want to be covered in you, Jesus. I don't want to just be saved. I want to be effective. I want to be used by you. But Jesus said if somebody been already took a bath, but they've been walking around out in the dusty hills of Palestine, they only need to wash their feet. But what he was really talking about is, amen, what he was going to do for them when he go to the cross. He going to clean them up. You know, Anthony, amen, Anthony Brown got that song, You Thought I Was to Die For. Amen. So you sacrificed your life. You thought I was to die for. So you cleaned me up inside. Amen. And Jesus knew that. He was just demonstrating it to him. So two things he was teaching them, to be humble. Amen. And to if Jesus, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, God's only begotten Son in whom he is well pleased, can kneel down and wash his disciples' feet. I watched Dr. Tony Evans do that for real. One Sunday in his church, he for real washed his, he didn't get his feet washed. He washed the folks who work with him to pull off the will of God at Oakleaf Bible Fellowship. He washed their feet. Yes, the great Dr. Tony Evans, who's written all these books, who got his own commentary. Amen. First black man I know to do that. He washed their feet. I participated in a foot washing ceremony. It was Pastor DeBurley Porter. He is the one that introduced it to me. And it was right before Jesus called me to do Running for Christ Ministries, right around that time. And I really wasn't into it, but then the Lord Jesus told me to do it. And so I didn't know what was supposed to come from it. But then after that, I became a pastor. I became a pastor. And Jesus was telling me, this is what he did it for his disciples. I should be willing to do it. Now, look, is he talking about me washing people's feet, you washing people's feet, because I don't want you to sit there and say, oh, I need to go wash somebody's feet who weigh less than me. No, look at verse 14. Look at what he says. He says, well, look at verse 12. He says, you don't understand what I'm, do you understand what I was doing? You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, because that's what I am. Jesus is never going to deny who he is. And since I am your Lord and teacher, or rabbi, master teacher, and I've washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. Now listen to this. I've given you an example to follow. Oh, so you're not necessarily telling me I need to go to a foot washing ceremony, but you're telling me this is an example of being humble, not thinking that you are greater than you really are. I think we're reading that in Romans chapter 12 with our responsive reading, not to think more highly of yourself than you ought to do and not to think that you are better than you really are. He's teaching humility. He's teaching equality. Jesus Christ, his body, the church, is truly egalitarian, and that ought to be the goal of every single Christian to be a part of that. So we can be a demonstration to the whole world that we are like Jesus. We're not looking for you to give up for us, but we want to give up for you. Galatians 6 and 10 says, as often as you have opportunity, let us do good unto how many? All. Didn't God so love the world that he gave? And wasn't Jesus thinking about people who he knew, because he's God, right, fully God, fully man, would never be saved, yet he has still made provision for their salvation? How awesome is that? It is not to say that Jesus is saying, well, they might turn around one day. He know they ain't going to turn around. But they will not stand at the judgment seat of Christ, the white throne judgment, where we won't go because of what Jesus did just for us, just for me, just for you. Because of what he did just for you, just for me, being willing to suffer the cross for you, for me, we've taken part in what's called the first resurrection, and we don't have nothing to fear from the second death. Why? Because Jesus did it just for me, just for you, just for us, just for anybody who will accept him as Lord and Savior. Amen. Jesus knows that after he leaves this meeting, they're going to cross the Kidron Valley. They're going into the Garden of Gethsemane. Judas has left the building and hooked up with the crowd that's coming to get Jesus. They're coming with clubs. They're coming with torches. They're coming with knives. They're coming with soldiers to get Jesus at night. And they're going to carry him to Annas, who is not even the high priest, just the relative of the high priest, Caiaphas. And he's going to be slapped in the face because of the way he answers the high priest. And then he's going to be taken there, and he's going to be taken before Caiaphas. And all kinds of accusations are going to be hurled at him. And not one of them's going to stick. They're going to fling so much against the wall, and all of it's going to hit the floor. They will find no accusation against them. And then Caiaphas suddenly going to stand up and say, I adjure you by the true and living God that you say, tell us, are you the Christ, the Messiah, the one who is to come? And Jesus tells him, yes, I am. And at that, the room just goes crazy. And Caiaphas rips his robe, tears his priestly garments, which was against God's law, in a fake show of piety, and say, what need do we have of any more witnesses? You've heard him. We've heard him ourselves. He is guilty of blasphemy, and we send him to death. But the Jews had a problem. They couldn't put nobody to death without the permission of the Roman Empire. So they take Jesus and sell him to Pilate. Pilate tried every which way to get out of it, but Jesus talks him into it. Jesus said, you'd have no power over me unless my Father in heaven gave it to you. The people who delivered me to you has committed a worse offense. Pilate took from that, then I'm innocent of this man's blood. His blood will be on them Jews. And so Pilate goes before the Jews and washes his hands and says, I'm innocent of this man's blood. His blood be on your heads. And somebody shouts from the crowd, his blood be on our heads and on our children's heads, not knowing what they were saying. Praise God, they didn't get the curse that they received or asked for. And Jesus is taken out. And the Romans, as I talked to you about that crucifixion, did what the Romans do. Beat Jesus until he was unrecognizable. The only way there's disciples, John being the only man there, and the women who were at the cross, that the only way they were able to recognize Jesus was that sign they put over his head. Jesus, the King of the Jews. And then after Jesus had satisfied God's righteousness and justice, after God's holiness had been satisfied, validated, then loving kindness and mercy showed up. And Jesus said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. So it wasn't the Jews who killed Jesus. Neither was it the Romans who killed Jesus. Jesus was not murdered. Jesus said, Father, it is finished. Into your hands I commit my spirit. So we know Jesus had a body because Mary gave it to him. We know Jesus had a soul because it was in anguish and sorrowful unto death. And now we know Jesus had a spirit because into his Father's hand he committed his spirit. And just like Jesus, we are body, soul, and spirit. And if you will accept Jesus, his death, burial, and resurrection today, if you will believe that God loved you, loved me, loved us so much that he gave his only begotten Son to whosoever believes, God guarantees that you'll have eternal life. It does not matter what you've done before. It only matters what you do right now. Will you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior right now? Pray with me. Say, Lord God, our Father, I am an admitted sinner. I confess right now that I believe that Jesus died for my sins and was raised on the third day for my justification. I accept him, Jesus Christ, as my Lord and Savior right now. In Jesus' name, amen. That's all God asks you to do. Is to believe. You did not ask to come into this world, but you just made a decision about where you're going to live forever. No, you didn't ask to come here. The Lord brought you here because he wanted you here. And let me tell you something. In Matthew 25 and 41, it says that God prepared hell for the devil and his angels. So next time you hear somebody talking about hell, say, that's not about me. My Jesus in John 14 and 2 went to a place to prepare that place for me. Heaven's prepared for me. The right hand of Jesus is prepared for me. Amen. God bless you, my brother and my sister, and welcome to the body. Welcome to the family. Amen. In Jesus' name, I pray that you accepted him. He paid a lot. Just so you would. The opportunity is yours. I pray you take it. Amen. God bless you. God keep you. Well, Crystal, I left you sometime. Amen. But the Lord is telling me you're going to have to hold on for a minute. The Lord want me to play this song. And then you had the rest of the time.
Amen. Amen. Got you.
Amen. As the choir begins to sing, there are some of you who are going through your own storms. Can we talk about it? Won't you come on down? Won't you come? Amen.
Born into sin that I may live again.
Don't allow those situations in your life to keep you from having a relationship with God. No, you need to know Him. You know, many of us talk about, oh, I'm going to get to know God tomorrow. Tomorrow isn't promised, and you can have your salvation today. Now, won't you come? Won't you come on down, brother? Come on down.
Now behold the Lamb, the precious Lamb of God, born into sin.
Won't you come?
That I may live again. You are.
Won't you come, sister?
Lamb of God.
Come on down, sister. God loves you. God be praised. God be praised.
Yes, I love that song.
so much. Every song that was played today, Lord have mercy, if like I had to prevent myself from crying. I'm a crybaby anyway. Like, I am a super emotional crybaby. Like, I don't know what's going on.
You.
But those songs are, oh, my Jesus. And I'm like, I heard you, and I'm like, and I hear, I always hear when you well up. Like, I hear the word right before you well up, and I'll be like, oh, Jesus, help him, Jesus, help him, Jesus, help him. Because Pastor can't be on the grind because we got to preach. Help him, Lord. Help him, Lord. Help him, Lord. But I'm telling you,
I don't know what it is.
Look, but when you're talking about, when you think about what God has done, and, it, you know, look, we get inside of ourselves, and we just, we're humans, and we are a mess. But one of the things, like, your sermon was amazing, but one of the things that stuck out to me was when you were speaking about the humanity of Jesus Christ, the fact that he's fully God and fully man, and yet he's in the garden praying, Father, if there is another way, can you get this, take this cup from me? Is it anything else we could do? Look, but at the end, he knew what was going to happen. And just like you said, sometimes we wish that the Lord will just tell us what the end is going to be so that it makes the hard things not so hard. You know, sometimes if we could see into the future, it makes the things that we go through not be as difficult because we know what it's going to be, but we have to have faith and trust that everything is in God's hands. And so, you know, when he's crying drops of blood, not one person on this earth, because of someone else, can say that they have been so anxious and so nervous that they are actually crying drops of blood. But what does that show you? It shows you that the love of Christ is never far away. It shows that he feels what we feel. It shows that he goes through what we go through, not to the cross, of course, but it shows that he was flesh just like us, and he understands us just like we can understand him by reading the word. So his humanity is huge for me because we know that he's God and we know that he's perfect. But he came here, like you say, the washing of the feet, and he came to serve and not be served. I mean, his humanity is just another thing that he's worthy to be praised for, because if he was just God, I'm just God, you praise me, you do this, you do that, you do the other, we'd be like, well, wait a minute. Well, why can't I be just God? But it's his humanity that makes him comparable to us. It's how we can align ourselves with Jesus because he feels what we feel. We know what he knows. He understands what we understand. And it puts us on a level playing field, even though he's still fully God. And ain't none of us ever cry drops of blood for nobody. We'll quit and say, go on about your business before we even think about that.
we might get a little anxious, but
it's not happening. So just what Jesus has done for us is huge. Why force yourself into a place that was not created for you? It's so easy to get to heaven. Why not just accept it? I'd rather take my chances on what the word says than to take my chances on what the world says and then not get the opportunity to have a do-over. Because once it's done, when you go on from this life, it's a wrap. It's a done deal. It's a done deal. So I hope those who are listening, as I get on into these announcements, I hope those who are listening who didn't know Christ, I hope something that you heard today, whether it was the scriptures, whether it was a prayer, John Mackey, praise God. It was so good to hear his voice. You know, whether it was the song, whether it was the sermon, whether it's going to be in these announcements, I hope that you accepted, somebody accepted just the love and the salvation of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, it's the best decision that you could ever make. Amen. Before I get too hyped, because now I'm in the mood. Before I was like, go ahead and do announcements. Okay. Get my mind right. Now my mind is all the way right. Now I'm like, I feel like I just don't need to work for the rest of the day. I'm just saying. So Jesus is just going to give me the rest of the day, y'all. And I'm going to do these announcements as if it's a Saturday or a Sunday, but it's not, y'all. Guess what? It's Friday, and it's Good Friday. So happy Friday to all of the Blog Talk Radio listeners, new and old, who tune into our Good Friday afternoon service on this great Friday, April 2nd, 2021. Amen. Just a couple short announcements. As always, we want to acknowledge our pastors at Run for Christ Ministry. So, of course, Pastor O, Pastor Janice, Pastor Janine, Minister McFall. It was so good to hear his voice. Amen. We thank God for his healing and his continued progression. We're so glad to hear him. And so we know that Romans chapter 10, verses 14 through 15 says, but how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news. And so we thank you, Pastor O, for being that messenger of good news today, teaching us and preaching to us the word of God, and not to just us at Run for Christ Ministries, but because of Blog Talk Radio that God has so eloquently put in place. People all over the world who need to hear the word of God are able to do so. Amen. So thank you. Another just abridged version, our Bible reading class, as most of us, if not all of us now know, is being held now on Wednesdays at 6 p.m., effective this Wednesday, April the 7th. I believe Deaconess Nicole Seabrook is teaching 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 22. I haven't seen the email with the questions. I know it's been a busy week for Pastor, but I know that the questions are going to be available online for you to access on our church website, rfcm.org. Under Bible classes, you'll find them there. Just go there, get what you need, and you'll be able to participate on Wednesday, Bible reading class, 6 p.m. Amen? All right, so every Tuesday at 4 p.m., Reverend Richard Overall, which we know is Pastor O's brother, is on Blog Talk Radio teaching and preaching in his series Training Day. Set yourself a reminder each week to tune in at 4 o'clock every Tuesday to hear Reverend Richard Overall teach in his series Training Day. Amen. Pastor's book, Jesus Christ, From His Birth to His Ascension, if I could say the word ascension, is $5 off, kind of because of the Easter season. Praise God. We love coupons. So we know that Easter is on Sunday, but the sale will be going on for the entire month. So take advantage of the discount. Buy the books for your children, for your family members who may not know the Lord, you know, friends, people in your community, your neighbors, yourself, you know, whoever the Lord leads you to. So share the book with them and bless their lives. Amen. And on the fourth Wednesday of every month, from now until November, First Fruit Living Ministries and Minister Shelley, along with Pastor O, as well as anyone else who wants to join in, will be out in front of Run for Christ Ministries, praying with people, rededicating and restoring people back to and back in Christ, giving out Bibles and lunches right at the bus stop, kind of in front of the church building, from 11:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. So that's every fourth Wednesday of the month from now until November. So if you're able to come out, please come out. Amen. Sunday, this Sunday, April 4th, which is Resurrection Day / Easter Sunday, Run for Christ Ministries will be celebrating our 18th church anniversary. Praise God. On Blog Talk Radio. Of course, we can't, you know, come together physically and celebrate in person, but it's okay because that's all right. Don't worry about it. But we can and will celebrate spiritually together on Blog Talk Radio. So tune in and make sure to share this and all of our other services with others. Amen. Again, as a reminder, all of our classes and our services here on Blog Talk Radio are recorded, archived, and free. Just go to our church website, rfcm.org, click Blog Talk Radio tab. Right there, you'll have access to every single one that has been recorded since the beginning. What a blessing. Amen. If you want to bless us at Run for Christ Ministries with a free will love offering, please visit the church website, again, rfcm.org. We would like to thank everyone that faithfully and continually gives to Run for Christ Ministries, even though we're not physically in the building. Because you continue to support, we're able to finally give our first installment towards Forgotten Harvest, Salvation Army, Detroit Rescue Mission, Covenant House, Bondage Breaker Ministries, Gleaners, and First Fruit Living Ministries. Praise God. We know that these ministries help hurting and struggling people all year long. So we praise God for all of you who continue to give. God bless you and thank you. And for more info on our outreach, go to rfcm.org. In addition to this, if you want to give the love offering for Pastor O, who is the one who brought the word to us today, please visit pastorgo.com and click the donate button. Amen. So 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18
says, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Remember to pray for everyone, everywhere, all the time, those who are sick, shut in, one another, yourself, all of our mothers at Run for Christ Ministries, Mother Cheryl, Mother Louisa, Mother Irma, Mother Marilyn, and Mother Persia. Special prayers, you know, go out to, you know, all of our kids and our teachers and parents, our world, nation, leaders on every level. All those are, excuse me, essential workers, missing and exploited children, all of our brothers and sisters in Christ all around the world, and especially to those who are spiritually lost and confused. Amen. So prayer, we know, is simply talking to God, and it's essential to bringing heaven down to earth. John 15:5 says, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So we've been commanded to seek God's help and God's hand in all that we do. And he promised to be with us at all times. Therefore, it is our responsibility to unite as one in the body of Christ, serving in the purpose that God has created for us. Amen. So Psalm 34:18 says, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Matthew 5:4 says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Romans 12:15 says, rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. And 1 Thessalonians 4:13 says, but let us not mourn as those who have no hope. Psalm 30:5 says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And I don't, like I said, give all these scriptures to stir up any painful emotions or make you sad or heartbroken. I say them to give you strength and encouragement, and so that you know that these are things that only the word of God can give. And so with that, we ask that you please continue to keep those who are bereaved and hurting in your thoughts and prayers. And as always, we pray God's comfort, healing, love, and peace upon you. Amen. So I just want to say that as we approach this resurrection / Easter Sunday, I ask that you take some time to clear your mind and really meditate on how important this season is, not just for us as Christians, but for the world, and not just in the death and burial of Jesus Christ, but in his resurrection. The power is there when he rose from the dead. Amen. So I got a devotional for you, and it's dated for today, and it says what Easter is really about. It says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost, and that's Luke 19:10. Easter is not about eggs and wearing pastel colors. That's all fine, but that isn't what Easter is about. It's about Jesus wanting a relationship with you. Jesus was born to die and to rise again. That was the reason for the incarnation. On the cross, Jesus faced the judgment of God. He took the wrath of God upon himself. It's why he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? He was bearing all the sin of the world, including your sins and mine, by dying in our place. That is why he came. Jesus talked about it all the time. He was on a mission to go to the cross of Calvary. His life was not taken from him. He willingly gave it up for us. Nails did not hold Jesus to that cross. Love did. Love for you and love for me. He died for us. So how do you come into a relationship with him? Well, first you have to admit that you're a sinner. Some of us choke on that word, but we have to admit that we've broken God's commandments. If you've broken even one commandment, then you've sinned. We've all done that many times over because the Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's Romans 3:23. You need to realize that Jesus died on the cross for you. And then you need to repent of your sin, which means a change of direction. It means turning away from it. Next, you must receive Christ into your life. You must ask Jesus to be your Savior and your Lord. No one else can do this for you. This is a decision you make, and your eternity hinges on this decision. And remember, he did it all for you. Amen? Amen. And those are your short but sweet announcements.
Amen, Crystal, thank you. You know, like I said at the last second when I told you about this, amen, you got it hooked up.
All right.
Amen. That's why I need people filled with the Holy Ghost, because you ain't get it to the last second. So
my Holy
I want to thank you.
He was like, man, I got to get up. I was like, yes, get up, Holy Ghost, get up.
But thank you.
I'm telling you, you're welcome.
appreciate you. Tell Mira I say what's up.
Amen, amen. The brother man is back, amen. Looking like a burnt chicken breast, amen.
All right, Crystal, let me get out of here.
All right.
Amen. God bless you. I want to thank Kathy Clyburn for all she does. Her and John, Pastor John McFall, they were the ones who got me into it. John came to my door one morning, told me about Blog Talk Radio. He needed me to come in on the show. So I learned how to do the shows from him. And then it took me 8 months to get the courage to do it. So in August of 2009, Deaconess, who is now Deaconess Kathy Clyburn, told me that people can't see you. You on the radio. You could be in your pajamas. And something about that hit me. And we did our first show in August of 2009. And now here we are a whole lot of years later, probably 10, 11 years later. And God had us fit and ready for this pandemic. We haven't missed a service since we left the church March 15th. The third Sunday in 2020, and the very next Sunday we were right here on Blog Talk Radio. We just added the ad Sunday, and we've been here ever since. And I'm so thankful to God for everybody, for those two who really hooked me up, and for June. She's been a reader, scripture reader, and so much more. Her and her husband Rayfield, ever since Running for Christ started, and of course y'all know Crystal. People keep telling me y'all need a radio show. Anyway. And of course, my awesome wife, Baby Holy Ghost, who prays for me before any every time I get ready to preach, you got to pray for me and get me hooked up. Amen. One of Pastor Terrence Tate will be preaching this Saturday. He always gets the pleasure, amen, of preaching every Saturday, every first Saturday, and so every Easter come around, he is the Easter preacher. Amen. And then I'll be back on Sunday, and my subject is, He is Risen. Now go and tell that. Amen. Jesus had me cracking up when he gave me that thing. And we're going to have a communion service right here on Blog Talk Radio this Saturday as well, because unless folks want to, we might not do the Zoom communion because it's Easter. And folks probably going to be eating and enjoying family and friends or whatever. Amen. So we will have communion here on Saturday. All you need is something liquid, and all you need is something to substitute for the bread, and we will be good. Amen? Is my mind clear? Okay, baby, Holy Ghost gave me that look like it is. Okay, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faithful before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty and dominion and power both now and forever. And the church said, amen. Amen. God bless you. See you when we see you. Amen.
We've got to walk on walk on through temptation, 'cause he's love and his wisdom will be our helping hand. I know the truth and his word will be our salvation. Lift up our hearts and glad that Jesus is love. He won't let you down, and I know he deep down in my
Jesus.